This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back. It is Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's here on 1250 AM. The Fan, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you, being joined now by MLB writer RJ Anderson, covers the MLB for CBS Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at @R_J_Anderson, and that's Anderson with an O, not an E. RJ, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Oh, anytime. Thanks for having me.
I saw your piece ranking all the different players that are out there and available at the MLB trade deadline in CBS Sports. Very well done. However, the Brewers, who obviously we want to talk about, have already gotten Dallas Keuchel, got a trade done with Aaron Savalier, who didn't look all that great, coming over from Tampa Bay. The Brewers' history, once we get past the Doug Melvin era, is they don't really like to go all in necessarily at the trade deadline. So what are we talking about here name-wise that you think might be of interest to the Brewers? I guess we'll start first with starting pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, the names that come to mind for me are the Rockies duo, you know, Cal Quantrill and Austin Gomber. They're both under control through next season. They both had solid to good years pitching in one of the, you know, least friendly pitching environments in all of baseball. Quantrill has really leaned into his splitter this year, so if you're an optimist, maybe you think that he's achieved a new level of performance. Gomber, he's not quite that guy. You know, he's very much a back-end starter, but he has experience in the bullpen, and, you know, maybe he's a useful utility pitch down the stretch. So I think those are the two names that pop to mind, because you're right. You know, Matt Arnold comes from that Rays lineage. They believe in surplus value. They believe that years in control are very valuable. They're probably not going to be in the conversation for Garrett Crochet or Tarik Skubal or any of those other big names. Their job is to go out there, identify players who they can get better performance from than expected, and acquire them for a lot less than their production suggests they should cost.
It's funny you bring up those Rockies pitchers, because the guy that I keep saying on the air I don't want is Cal Quantrill, so I'm not an optimist on Cal Quantrill. The other guy that I do want, and I know they're not going to get, is Garrett Crochet, as you brought up as well. Yeah. Another name that I've brought up, and I don't know, you know, as far as how much he's going to cost compared to a Quantrill who, like you said, you have another year of control over. This guy would be simply a rental player, the former Cardinal, Jack Flaherty. Yeah. How much is he going to cost compared to, say, maybe a Quantrill from Colorado? Is he actually going to cost more?
Yeah, he's interesting because, you know, he's a guy who, you look at his stat line and you say, oh, Jack Flaherty must have made some major changes to his game and he's back to being good like he was early in his career with the Cardinals. But then you look under the hood and it's like, what exactly did he do different from last year? Because, you know, he was kind of a mess last year and I really don't see anything different. So it's just going to be up to how much faith teams have in him sustaining this the rest of the way. And I guess if you do have faith in him, yeah, sure, I'd probably pay more for Jeff Flaherty than I played for a year and a half with Cal Quantrill. That said, you know, my guess is teams will be a little skeptical and that'll lower his price just enough where he does fit in the Brewers' price range.
Talking with RJ Anderson of CBS Sports, covers MLB, also covering it all over the draft. You can look at his top 30 draft prospect list as well. We'll talk more about that probably in the future after they have a draft. We'll get RJ back on and see what he thinks of the guys that the Brewers drafted. But and the draft is this weekend, by the way. I want to get into something else. Actually, it's next week, but I want to get something else with the Brewers. Because this bullpen has had its issues as of late, right? Hudson is a guy that a lot of Brewer fans thought could have been an all-star. He had a sub-1 ERA before the weekend series in L.A. where he imploded and gave up a couple of home runs. Then there's Piamps and Peguero, who both have had their moments in the sun, but as of late now have started to struggle a little bit. There have been things written about usage rates and whether or not this is going to come back and bite the Brewers by how much they're using these guys. I referenced it yesterday on Wisconsin Sports Daily as a house of cards, possibly, as far as this bullpen goes. What are there out there as far as bullpen options for this team that would make sense?
Yeah, I think the name that pops to mind for me, you know, based on what I said earlier about how Milwaukee likes identifying guys who are about to take a performance leap under their guidance, Michael Kopech. You know, he's in everyone in those White Sox arms. Really good stuff. The numbers are ugly. You know, he struggled with his command, struggled with home runs. I get it if you look at him and say, really, this guy? But he is the exact kind of profile that you slot him into this Milwaukee system. They coach him up, and all of a sudden you have, you know, an elite reliever for the next season and a half, and it happens in a week's span. You know, it just takes a couple of bullpen sessions in front of those Milwaukee coaches. They figure out what exactly he needs to do to, you know, up his game, and all of a sudden he's leveled up, and you're like, wow, what a great deal that was. So I think he's the first name that comes to mind. But, you know, there are so many relievers out there. He told me that they trade for Tanner Scott or some of these ever maybe more well-known names. It wouldn't surprise me either.
What's the situation in Texas? I'm seeing reports that, you know, they're seven and a half out of the wild card or whatever. They may blow that thing up. If that happens, if they start trading pitching, whether it be bullpen or starting pitching, that really changes probably the market at the deadline, I would think, because that would open up a whole bunch more options.
Yeah, you have Eovaldi, potentially have Scherzer. You look at the bullpen. I mean, Kirby Yates is an all-star. Yep. You have David Robertson. Like, yeah, they would really have a lot of intriguing options to offer teams. You're right. I don't know if they're going to sell. I mean, you know, we're still, what, 3 weeks away from the deadline, and a lot can change. Obviously, you know, they've dug themselves a real hole. They've had a lot of underperformance, a lot of injuries. So that might be a team that comes down to the buzzer before they really make that call. But you're right. If they do decide, hey, you know, this isn't our year, we have a World Series trophy from last year, it's okay if we take a step back this season.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back-to-school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back-to-school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, they could really dominate the market.
With the way the All-Star break has changed over the last couple of years for Major League Baseball, now putting the draft in it next week, plus the Home Run Derby, the All-Star game, and all of that, how much do the conversations start to heat up when we start talking about possible trades when you have all this stuff going on next week and a down week when the teams aren't playing?
Yeah, I mean, I started to hear about talks happening, I would say, over a month ago. Like, teams are starting to say, okay, you know, we know we're not good, and we're going to start having these dialogues, but you know, the thing is, there were such a limited amount of sellers that they have every incentive in the world to wait until that last week, because then it puts the pressure on the buyers. Then they can extract more value. So I think that we're still going to see most of these trades happen late in the process. But you're right, the negotiations are picking up. You know, some teams are coming to the light and saying, you know what, this isn't our year. We're going to sell as well. And once that happens, I mean, we'll start getting down to business. But, you know, there are a lot of front offices right now, a lot of people in front offices who are focused on the draft. You know, a lot of scouts do double duty nowadays. A lot of analysts do double duty nowadays. So I don't think you're really going to see activity pick up until a couple weeks down the road.
Time with RJ Anderson, covers Major League Baseball for CBS Sports. You can follow the CBS Sports baseball account at CBS Sports MLB. Follow RJ on Twitter at @R_J_Anderson. He joins us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM The Fan. Let's talk to the team closest to the Brewers in the NL Central. That's the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, they're a little bit different than the Brewers in the aspect of they've shown the willingness to push chips in and kind of go forward at trade deadlines in years past. Are we looking at a similar type situation here with this Cardinals team this year?
I would be surprised, because honestly, their biggest need is the time machine. You know, they need to go back to when Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado were at their best and not in their current forms. Shy of that, I mean, you're not going to upgrade at either of those positions. Like, realistically, you're just not going to acquire a third baseman or a first baseman to slot them in over those guys. That only leaves so many positions for them to upgrade. And, you know, you look at center field, would they really pony up and go get Luis Robert? I don't think so. I mean, maybe they're higher on that team than I realize, but I don't think so. You know, maybe Jazz Chisholm, maybe a down market option. Maybe if the Mets fall in, but again, Harrison Bader reunites with them. But otherwise, I don't think this is the year where the Cardinals are going to go out there and make a big blockbuster either. I suppose if they really, really feel good about their team, maybe they hunt for one of those top starting pitchers, you know, just to add on. But other than that, I think they're probably just going to, you know, play the down market and the middle market like the Brewers will.
I got to be honest, when Ollie Marmol got that extension, I was laughing going, what are you doing? I mean, it was a half a season. Why are you making him the manager and being that guy? And then after last year, then I was more convinced than ever that I was right, that that was a mistake. And then they struggle to get off to a slow start this year, and then they catch fire shortly after they come back and beat the Brewers. Your thoughts on Marmol as a manager?
Yeah, I mean, most managers are just, you know, they fit into kind of this blob where it's like, you know, it all depends on the roster, right? I thought he had some weird displays last season. You know, I think back to the Tyler O'Neill thing. I think back to the Contreras thing, where it was all handled in a very public manner that felt very un-Cardinals-like. You know, they seemed to be pretty good at keeping things in-house. So that struck me as weird, and I agree that the extension caught me off guard. And it felt like, I think it was like a week or two later, we learned that Skip Schumacher down in Miami was not going to have his option executed this offseason. So he'd become a free agent. And I felt like, wow, you know, I feel like that's the guy St. Louis actually would want as their manager. But to Marmol's credit, you know, water sells. And there's a reason this guy was hired in the first place. You know, back when he was hired, he's considered a rising star in coaching circles. So I don't know. I guess it must have been growing pains, or it's just one of those situations where the manager doesn't actually make that big of a difference. And it's all about what the guys on the field do.
RJ, I want to quickly touch on the other three teams in the NL Central. Let's first start with the Trader and that Cubs team that he's managing down there in Chicago. As far as what they're going to do, you know, I'm seeing reports that, okay, maybe they'll trade Nico Horner, or maybe they'll trade Jameson Taillon or whatever, but they're still not decided yet of whether or not they want to make that move. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've watched them a bunch. I don't see how this thing turns around for them, considering all the injuries they've had, how bad that bullpen has been. I'm not quite sure what they're waiting for. How do you look at it for that team?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say that this is a lot worse Chicago Cubs team than any of us expected. I actually thought they were going to be the best team in the division. I thought that they had depth. I thought that they had, you know, the ability to make in-season moves. I fully expected them to be, if not first place at this point, at least, you know, second place, maybe third place if, you know, one of these other teams really had a good year. But, you know, I've been caught flat-footed on that. I'll fully admit that. And I think that they probably will sell. You know, Cody Bellinger's contract makes it work. He might be an interesting player to put out there because he can opt out after this season. He can also opt out after next season. I don't know if he's having twice a year where he would actually opt out. But if you're the Cubs and maybe you're having a little regret over that deal, maybe you look to trade him and make that someone else's problem. But the other names you mentioned, yeah, you know, that makes sense. They have some young players coming who they can slot in there down the stretch and see if they're going to be able to help them from opening day onward next year. So I do suspect they're going to sell unless something really weird happens over the next 3 weeks.
All right, now let's talk about the other two teams that I think are in a conundrum, because both teams have some really good young talent. The Reds, I think, especially were expected to be better than they were this year. What happens with the Reds and the Pirates? Are they sellers and try to accumulate more young talent?
Yeah, the Reds are interesting because dating back to at least last offseason, and maybe it was last deadline, I've had other people, they could really dominate the market.
With the way the All-Star break has changed over the last couple of years for Major League Baseball, now putting the draft in it next week, plus the Home Run Derby, the All-Star game, and all of that, how much do the conversations start to heat up when we start talking about possible trades when you have all this stuff going on next week and a down week when the teams aren't playing?
Yeah, I mean, I started to hear about talks happening, I would say, over a month ago. Like, teams are starting to say, okay, you know, we know we're not good, and we're going to start having these dialogues, but you know, the thing is, there were such a limited amount of sellers that they have every incentive in the world to wait until that last week, because then it puts the pressure on the buyers, then maybe they can extract more value. So I think that we're still going to see most of these trades happen late in the process, but you're right, the negotiations are picking up. You know, some teams are coming to the light and saying, you know what, this isn't our year, we're going to sell as well. And once that happens, I mean, we'll start getting down to business. But you know, there are a lot of front offices right now, a lot of people in front offices who are focused on the draft. You know, a lot of scouts do double duty nowadays. A lot of analysts do double duty nowadays. So I don't think you're really going to see activity pick up until a couple weeks down the road.
Time with RJ Anderson, covers Major League Baseball for CBS Sports. You can follow the CBS Sports baseball account at CBS Sports MLB. Follow RJ on Twitter at @R_J_Anderson. He joins us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM The Fan. Let's talk to the team closest to the Brewers in the NL Central. That's the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, they're a little bit different than the Brewers in the aspect of they've shown the willingness to push chips in and kind of go forward at trade deadlines in years past. Are we looking at a similar type situation here with this Cardinals team this year?
I would be surprised, because honestly, their biggest need is the time machine. You know, they need to go back to when Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado were at their best and not in their current forms. Shy of that, I mean, you're not going to upgrade at either of those positions. Like, realistically, you're just not going to acquire a third baseman or a first baseman to slot them in over those guys. That only leaves so many positions for them to upgrade. And, you know, you look at center field, would they really pony up and go get Luis Robert? I don't think so. I mean, maybe they're higher on that team than I realize, but I don't think so. You know, maybe Jazz Chisholm, maybe a down market option. Maybe if the Mets fall in, but again, Harrison Bader reunites with them. But otherwise, I don't think this is the year where the Cardinals are going to go out there and make a big blockbuster either. I suppose if they really, really feel good about their team, maybe they hunt for one of those top starting pitchers, you know, just to add on. But other than that, I think they're probably just going to, you know, play the down market and the middle market like the Brewers will.
I got to be honest, when Ollie Marmol got that extension, I was laughing, going, what are you doing? I mean, it was a half a season. Why are you making him the manager and being that guy? And then after last year, then I was more convinced than ever that I was right, that that was a mistake. And then they struggle to get off to a slow start this year, and then they catch fire shortly after they come back and beat the Brewers. Your thoughts on Marmol as a manager?
Yeah, I mean, most managers are just, you know, they fit into kind of this blob where it's like, you know, it all depends on the roster, right? I thought he had some weird displays last season. You know, I think back to the Tyler O'Neill thing. I think back to the Contreras thing, where it was all handled in a very public manner that felt very un-Cardinals-like. You know, they seemed to be pretty good at keeping things in-house. So that struck me as weird, and I agree that the extension caught me off guard. And it felt like, I think it was like a week or two later, we learned that Skip Schumacher down in Miami was not going to have his option executed this offseason. So he'd become a free agent. And I felt like, wow, you know, I feel like that's the guy Shane Lewis actually would want as their manager. But to Marmol's credit, you know, water sells. And there's a reason this guy was hired in the first place. You know, back when he was hired, he's considered a rising star in coaching circles. So I don't know. I guess it must have been growing pains, or it's just one of those situations where the manager doesn't actually make that big of a difference. And it's all about what the guys on the field do.
RJ, I want to quickly touch on the other three teams in the NL Central. Let's first start with the Trader and that Cubs team that he's managing down there in Chicago. As far as what they're going to do, you know, I'm seeing reports that, okay, maybe they'll trade Nico Horner, maybe they'll trade Jameson Taillon or whatever, but they're still not decided yet of whether or not they want to make that move. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've watched them a bunch. I don't see how this thing turns around for them, considering all the injuries they've had, how bad that bullpen has been. I'm not quite sure what they're waiting for. How do you look at it for that team?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say that this is a lot worse Chicago Cubs team than any of us expected. I actually thought they were going to be the best team in the division. I thought that they had depth. I thought that they had, you know, the ability to make in-season moves. I fully expected them to be, if not first place at this point, at least, you know, second place, maybe third place if, you know, one of these other teams really had a good year. But, you know, I've been caught flat-footed on that. I'll fully admit that. And I think that they probably will sell. You know, Cody Bellinger's contract makes it work. He might be an interesting player to put out there because he can opt out after this season. He can also opt out after next season. I don't know if he's having quite the year where he would actually opt out, but if you're the Cubs and maybe you're having a little regret over that deal, maybe you look to trade him and make that someone else's problem. But the other names you mentioned, yeah, you know, that makes sense. They have some young players coming who they can slot in there down the stretch and see if they're going to be able to help them from opening day onward next year. So I do suspect they're going to sell unless something really weird happens over the next 3 weeks.
All right, now let's talk about the other two teams that I think are in a conundrum because both teams have some really good young talent. The Reds, I think, especially were expected to be better than they were this year. What happens with the Reds and the Pirates? Are they sellers and try to accumulate more young talent?
Yeah, the Reds are interesting because dating back to at least last offseason, and maybe it was last deadline, I've had people in other front offices, I should say, tell me, you know, watch for them as a dark horse on one of these big trades because their front office is aggressive enough to do it. They aren't going to concern themselves with years of control and surplus value and all those things that Milwaukee Brewer fans are probably very familiar with.
Yep.
They might go out there, push their chips in, and really try to jumpstart that team, get to the postseason, and have a really good core. They haven't quite done that yet, but I don't know. Like, is it possible they were to do it this deadline? I would guess if that's going to happen, it'll happen during the winter, but I suppose it's possible. You know, they're kind of a wild card. The Pirates, you know, they are one of those surplus value teams, and I have a very hard time seeing them going out there and making a blockbuster move. Could they buy at the margins and, you know, try to make the playoffs? Sure. I could see that. Could they sell as well? Yeah. I mean, I think that's going to be one of those teams that comes down to the next 3 weeks, but I just don't have a lot of optimism that the Pirates going to go out there and say, you know, this is our year. We're going to make some huge trades. We're going to empty our farm system. You know, that's not their approach at all. They're going to play it safe either way and hope that next year, you know, they can really put a better team around Paul Skeen, Jared Jones, and some of those star young players.
He is RJ Anderson, CBS Sports, covers Major League Baseball all over the amateur draft as well. If you want to go to CBSSports.com to check out his latest top 30 rankings for the amateur draft coming up next week. Follow him on Twitter at @R_J_Anderson. Of course, CBS Sports MLB on Twitter as well. RJ, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it. And I'll hook back up with you and we'll see what you think of the Brewers draft picks after they make them.
Anytime. Thank you for having me.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.